Hello, everybody. I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
And welcome to the House of Pod.
The darker 4-hour edition, now with more slow-mo.
Or it could be a 6-part miniseries. We haven't decided yet.
Neither have they.
But the slow-mo will be forever. That's why it's a 4-hour movie. Technically, it's only 20 minutes, but there's so much slow-mo.
Slow-mo of the slow-mo. They slow-mo-ceptioned us.
Yeah, like the normal shots are in slow-mo, and then the shots that would be in slow-mo are actually more slow-mo'd. More slow-mo'd?
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
Slow-mo-ceptioned.
Slow-mo'd more? Slow-mo-ceptioned. I'm starting to, like, the word is starting to mean nothing right now, so.
So we move on.
Yes. So we got our review of AEW's Double or Nothing later on today. Along with our next edition of, or the final qualifiers for Tournament of Heroes.
Mm-hmm. Heroes. Once you research them, one of the fights is kind of one-sided.
Yeah, that's very true. But we'll start with some news, and there's some big ones that we'll obviously dive into. We'll start with the tiny ones. Well, I guess it's not even... Oh, jeez. There we go. Got it off early.
Chicago-style hot dog.
So, earlier this week, it was announced the Umbrella Academy Season 2 is set to be released July 31st of this year. You haven't seen Umbrella Academy, have you?
Nope.
I started watching the first couple episodes, or started watching an episode or two yesterday at the time of recording. I know everything that happens, unfortunately, because that's just how everything works. And the fact that I was super intrigued that Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance is the guy that actually created all of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's fucking bonkers. It's really interesting. And from what I know how the season one ends, I'm interested how they're going to go into it. I don't want to tell you because you haven't seen it.
No, and I actually haven't had it. Like nearly anything spoiled for me.
Yeah, that's why I won't say anything.
Yeah,
it's good. It seemed at first glance you're like, oh, this is like an X-Men kind of thing, but just because it's like a group of teens at a school, basically, and then.
So what you're saying is it's kind of like the New Mutants I never got.
You're getting it.
It's supposedly.
Supposedly. Wait, I mean, we talked about that last week.
I know.
They moved the date to August.
I know, August. We'll see.
You'll get it. They
always say that.
No, but here they legally have to release it in theaters. So your copyright noise. Oh God. the worst thing that could happen is them just be like, well, we're not gonna play this movie. But even then, I'm pretty sure, per the agreement with Fox, they physically have to release this in theaters. So you're going to see it. It's just, you don't know when.
Oh, okay.
It's a mystery.
Nice.
It's a mystery.
That's a nice contractual obligation.
Yeah. Well, but that also leads to like a bunch of shitty Fox movies that have been coming out.
Well, I hope this isn't one of them.
Yeah. So yeah, Umbrella Academy. We should cover the first season before the second one comes out.
I'll see what I can do.
It's superhero related.
There's only so much time in the day.
What are you talking about? There's only so much time in the day.
I haven't seen any of it. I got to catch up.
I don't know. 2 months is pretty long.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yep. Hey, man, I just sowed corn. I got to take care of it.
Yeah, that's true. Your garlic. What did you say? Your garlic stem?
It just survived the mini 10-minute tornado we had.
Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah, Midwest.
Moving on to other things that have came out recently, we got a new trailer for Tenet. I actually wrote, new Tenet trailer comes out to confuse us all.
Yeah, it clarified a few things for me, and then I was like, oh, I think I got, wait a minute, no, okay, so he threw the gun down the hallway at first, and then, like, because he knew there was going to be a fight, so he called it back in reverse. While fighting the guy in real time? Okay.
Yeah, that's what... I think we were talking about that a little bit before we started recording. Like, it seemed like there was parts where it's like... At least the theory that I've heard going around is with... like, if you drop something, like, it's not you dropping it, but it's also the fact that that's where it's supposed to be. So, like, because of that, you're able to manipulate it as long as that happens, I guess. So they can, like... Like, I think that when they picked up the little gear in the thing, because when he puts it down, I'm assuming he, like, drops it, And because that happened, he can manipulate time to just have it come up to his hand immediately. Because at a certain point, he drops it down. Does that make sense? Or am I just babbling a little bit?
You know, there's things.
Regardless, I did want to mention that I think the date was pushed back, like, recently. Because originally he wanted this to, Christopher Nolan wanted this to come out in July 17th. And he's steadfast on, like, this is an IMAX movie. This isn't going straight to video. Like, you see it in the theaters. Mm-hmm. So, but I feel like it might have been pushed back a little bit. I'm not 100% though.
I can see that.
Yep. We got some speculation as well. You were talking about before the big reveal.
Just a little bit of speculation. Well, some of it's speculation, some of it is not. Mr. Sinister is supposedly the next big bad for the first X-Men movie, whenever that's going to be.
Good.
And this is leaked from the same guy that leaked Spider-Man was going to be in Civil War like months beforehand.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good sign. And I
finally get Mr. Sinister. I'm so happy.
I was like, I'm surprised they haven't used him before.
Yeah, well, they really were fixated on Magneto.
Which is okay, because you could get a lot out of him, but you definitely, like, they milked it in the first set of series.
I mean, you could, but they didn't really do any of the good parts of Magneto.
Well, the first trilogy, I think they at least did a little bit kind of cool things with it, where, like, you know, they were working together at some point and all that stuff in the second one, and it was kind of, you know, did that, but, like, with Fassbender, I mean, the last two movies, if I recall, like, his backstory is basically, like, yeah, I stepped away from being Magneto. It's like, from Godfather 3. It's like, every time I try to walk away, they just pull me back in. I probably butchered that, but I don't have a good Pacino. Instead of, ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
Yeah, there's a certain era of Pacino.
Yeah, there's the good Pacino, and I think, like, then there's...
He eventually just became a parody of himself. Then there's
Heat Pacino. That's when he was peak Pacino. Speaking of crazy, and this is total sidetrack, have you ever seen Face Off?
No, I actually have seen a few pieces of the first few minutes, and it's hilarious seeing John Travolta pretending to be Nicolas Cage.
Just the scene,
just the way he starts enunciating all of his words perfectly.
I watched,
oh my god, he got it.
I watched
two over actors overacting each other. This is great.
That's what I love about it. It was like, because it's like, it's not even that. It was like Travolta at one point had to act like Nick Cage overacting, and then Nick Cage had to act like Travolta trying to act like Nick Cage, which is even weirder. But just that scene with when they're singing that Hallelujah chorus at the beginning, and Nick Cage comes out like dressed like a priest, and he's like doing like headbanging and all this shit. It is like peak Cage crazy. Well, not peak. I think that's Wicker Man or Vampire movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely there. 100%. That's when they were like, go for it.
I mean, when everyone else is acting normal and he's just sitting there freaking out reciting the alphabet, and supposedly each one of those gestures was like painstakingly rehearsed.
Of course it was. Doesn't he have his own like method of acting that he produced or like made?
Probably.
I can't remember. I have to look more into it. I'm sure it's just go bonkers and just pretend. Yeah, just go bonkers.
Supposedly he's the only real actor because everyone else is trying to act normal. He's trying to act like an otherworldly character you go to the movies to see.
Yeah.
To a certain point, I can see that.
Yeah, he's,
to a certain point, that sounds crazy.
He's totally correct on that one. So, yes, what else we got?
We have Bob Iger, the executive chairman of Disney. His Twitter header was changed to add a Deadpool with a thumbs up in the corner. So that kind of seemingly confirms that there will be a Deadpool 3 and they're working on it, which Ryan Reynolds has kind of said a few times anyway. And then it seemed like Disney was like, hey, stop doing that. So he's like, you know, yeah, we're working on it. You know, if it happens, I would, you know, love to work on it.
They're just, or he's just trolling hard.
Yeah, that could be related to anything else. But Reynolds and Kevin Feige are still listed as producers. Rob Liefeld is not. And he was the one that came out and was like, they're not working on it. It's not a priority. Even though, you know, they got a lot of things to do.
Yeah, they're kind of scrambling when it comes to everything right now.
I am so excited for Marvel Knights.
Me too.
Moon Knight beating the shit out of people.
I mean, so they already announced Blade. They have Moon Knight.
Obviously, how many costumes do you think Moon Knight has? He loves the fact that he's wearing white so people can see him coming. But like, there's got to be a lot of blood on it over the ages. Do you think he just switches out every episode?
Do you think they're going to go with the Moon Knight with the hood or the dapper Moon Knight when he's wearing like the white suit and he has the mask on but with the moon crest on the front?
Because I feel like... I think they're going to do both of them probably, but I think we're going to see more of the hood.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. See, the thing is, I'm relying on the Netflix show with Daredevil, where they gave us the original, like, black mask, the black, like, half-mask thing just tied around his head.
Yeah, I don't think, but that's not, that isn't, like...
I know, it has nothing to do with it, but it's in my mind. I still think we're going to see more of the hood.
Yeah.
They might change it altogether. Marvel loves to alter things.
That could be his incognito mode, is the dapper Moon Knight. Because he's just crazy.
Yeah. He's not crazy. He just has a disability.
That's very true. I don't mean to say that.
Someone that may be crazy, though, Madam Web and S.J. Clarkson, who's a TV director, so I assume this is going to be a TV show at some point. I guess they've announced a Madam Web project, supposedly.
All right. Now,
although it's going to be it's obviously going to be female centric, but they're, I guess they're trying to get Charlize Theron. See, the problem with this is I don't know exactly how much they can do with the traditional Madam Web, where she sits in a chair and like transverses space and time. Usually, she has like someone there with her that like, you know, okay, I'm gonna go use my power and go over here, and now I need you to do this. Whereas, like, with Charlize Theron and being a weekly TV show, I feel like, well, either they're going to travel universe to universe and it's going to be an awesome, like, Marvel What If kind of thing and just make the multiverse further, maybe just randomly introduce characters, or it's going to be kind of like Spider-Woman. Like, not exactly Jessica Drew, but kind of like if it was a Spider-Woman show.
I think Sony should just, like, pump the brakes a little bit. Because they're starting to feel like they did when Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2 was out.
Yeah.
When they're just like, we're going to be doing a Black Cat movie and the Sinister Six movie and this and that and this and that. And then they just like shat the bed completely. Like they,
that's because you don't make an entire two movie to announce another movie coming out, because that's all Amazing Spider-Man 2 was.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like they're you know, with the Morbius movie, they're talking about this. They're talking about doing like the Spider-Woman movie and stuff like that. Like they need to just relax. And you can if you want a Spider-Woman movie, then in the next Venom movie or in the next like Spider-Man movie, introduce them and then do a spinoff. Don't just start throwing characters at us because you can. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't think Madam Web really, like, I don't know much about her, but I don't think she is a character that deserves an entire movie. She should be a character in a movie, but like a whole movie about her seems a bit ridiculous.
That's why I think the series has to be more like a Spider-Woman thing. But I don't know, maybe they're just calling her Madam Web.
Unless they're just like trying to like use her to connect and do like a live-action Spider-Verse kind of thing. Where they can do like what they did with the cartoon. But like, still, just like, slow your fucking roll.
See, originally when Sony announced Marvelverse, I thought it was going to be Madam Web that was going to be uniting them, and then, you know, Marvel like, no, Multiverse of Madness, we got you.
I feel like they're, sweet. I feel like their track record has made it so like they're really like one bad Spider-Man movie away from losing the good graces of basically everybody. Like,
well, they need to stop killing Uncle Ben.
No, not Spider-Man, like the Spider-Man universe. Like they did. Technically, Venom was okay, but it made a lot of money. So that
I love Venom.
Yeah, I did. And I did. I mean, in movie standpoints, they definitely could have done more, and everything was just CGI goop.
Yeah, I think Carnage is going to be disappointing, unfortunately.
But that's what I mean. Like they got one good one, and now they're kind of working with Marvel. So now they got their britches all pulled up. You know, big boy Sony trying to deal with Marvel's characters like they want to. like the last time they tried doing that, they made Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out. Mm-hmm. So that's just my opinion. Like I'm excited for the movies that they do, but I would rather have fewer characters and better stories, and that will lead to other characters having movies, not just like, oh, we got the Spider-Universe. Here's all of these characters from different Spider-Man stuff. We're going to make movies out of every single one of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
All they're doing is Sinister Six.
You know what? So far, they're starting to earn that movie. Mm-hmm. And that's good. You don't want a scene where you just walk by all of the different villains, gadgets like in Spider-Man 2. Like, you already introduced, what are they, Vulture? Scorpion, probably kind Mysterio.
Yeah, he's still alive.
And then even like Morbius. Although Morbius is more of a good guy.
You have Shocker in there too. Supposedly there is going to be a Kraven the Hunter standalone movie. I'm not sure about that one though.
Ooh, I don't, depending on what storyline they do, that's a really dark.
I don't think they're going to quite go with that yet.
Like, this is an alternate universe where Kraven actually kills Spider-Man.
Oh, all right. Instead of himself.
No, that's why he kills himself.
Well, yeah, I know, but then Spider-Man faked his own death.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just thought it was just like an Elseworld kind of thing.
I think that was a retcon thing.
Spider-Man's a monster. He faked his own death so the guy who was hunting him could just kill himself?
No, so the guy that was hunting him would stop, and then he was like, oh, well, Spider-Man's dead, so.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What a dark turn. I bet you Peter felt nothing.
I don't think he knew that would happen.
A monster.
Like, this was Kraven's own island that this happened on. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he went back to check. He was just like, yeah, he'll find my bones and the tattered Spider-Man costume remains and assume he got me.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Dear God.
I hope I'm not confusing him with Venom.
I don't know.
I'm a Spider-Man nerd. I should know this. Oh, well. Moving on.
Yes.
Yes. We also have the Justice League Snyder Cuts coming out on HBO Max 2021.
Oh, diving straight into that?
I mean, yeah, sure.
I wasn't sure if you had anything else. Yeah, okay.
I did not. All I have is that there's going to be some minor reshoots of it, but I guess otherwise they already have a lot of the filmed stuff. It just got cut because they had like 8 hours worth of film. And
see, I didn't hear anything about the minor reshoots. I didn't, because from what I've seen, what I've read, they have about 20 to 30 million bucks to like work with it. I know that they're like, all of the actors on there have been like really supportive of getting this release. Like, Ben Affleck put up a video essentially afterwards.
Baffleck.
Yeah. And like, he said that he loves Snyder's cut, which is nice. That's good to hear from somebody who is clearly miserable in certain parts of the filming process.
Yeah, he did not look like he was having fun or trying at all.
Not at all. But then,
like, contractually obligated.
But then, like, I've from what I've gathered, like, a lot of the guys, like, they're trying to work with everyone's schedules to get them in for these reshoots that wouldn't be necessary. But now, obviously, they announced it on like a Zoom watch along. It was a very weird spot to announce that, but I thought that was also pretty cool. And they had Henry Cavill on as well, because they were rewatching Man of Steel, and there was like hundreds or so people in the chat. Well, it was like Zack Snyder was rewatching the movie with everyone, and then Henry Cavill came in. Someone during the Q&A asked about the Snyder Cut, and then he put up the big thing on the screen saying they were doing it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which I was like, that's a cool reveal, but that's also a weird reveal. Like, good for Zoom. They're ranking it in so far, you know.
Also, can we have a Joss Whedon cut then? I'm just, you know.
We did. I thought that's the original.
I mean, kind of. I don't know. You could definitely see, like, the Joss Whedon happy parts and the Zack Snyder dark, broody lighting, so.
Yeah, that's very true.
I just kind of feel we should get both and, you know, judge from there.
But apparently, they asked Snyder. I did some deep dives with this one. I was pretty excited when they announced it. Apparently, they asked Snyder back in 2019 if he wanted to do a rework of it. I think this is when that Snyder Cut thing kind of was in full motion. He talked about there's a lot like way more movie. Like apparently we've only seen 1/4 of his actual movie. There's supposed to be a lot more character development between everyone in the Justice League.
That's good, because there was none.
Yeah, there's supposed to be like more explanation with Steppenwolf. There's actually, and I
that's good, because there was none.
I don't know.
Aside from a random, like, ages ago, the Amazons and the Atlanteans.
Well, even that's supposed to be longer, and that's actually supposed to have Darkseid in it. Like, apparently...
Yeah, it was.
I think we might have talked about, like...
The battle was supposed to be Darkseid, and Steppenwolf, I think, was supposed to take... I thought he was trying to get the mother box. Well, one, because his mother was actually imprisoned in it, which is why he keeps calling it mother creepily. But, you know, now explained. He wanted to get it because with that power he could overthrow Darkseid, who I believe was the one who imprisoned his mother in it.
Probably like that. I mean that would technically make would be like his great aunt.
Makes him a sympathetic bad guy.
Sympathetic.
Sort of. I mean, you know.
Yeah. But we were supposed to get a lot more Black Suit Superman. I think the movie was supposed to be more like the mother box is what brings Superman back, not whatever bullshit they did. Like, but not like how they did it. Like, Darkseid made the mother box bring him back. That's why there's a lot more. That's why that clash was happening with Superman, and it leads into more of the vision that Batman was having of the apocalypse, which I think we talked about last week. But the Justice League Dark Apocalypse lore is technically was supposed to be the story arc for what these live action ones are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Which I would have fucking that would.
But animated just seems to do it better.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But yeah, so there's like a lot more character development. There's an extended scene that the end scene with Deathstroke was apparently a lot longer. So we're gonna get an even longer scene. I'm hoping we get the Legion of Doom like big skull fortress that they have in the swamp.
That'd be awesome.
That would be sick as fuck.
I don't know how anyone hasn't found it yet. It's a big skull fortress.
I know. It's just go find a swamp and then go on the water. It's there. although, and then the one thing I wanted to point out, which I don't know if this is fake, but it was part of like one of the deleted scenes that they had in the movie, but it showed, it was like during the battle at the end, there's like this big building that was covered in shit and you see the Flash running away, followed by two red beams that were jerking around and following him. Yes. So I'm like, oh my god, them fighting Darkseid would be sick as hell. So, but yeah, either if it's a 6-part miniseries or a 4-hour movie, I'm still excited for it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That should be. And part of me is also like, you know, it's probably still not going to be like the hype behind it is so much that I don't think it'll ever live up to the expectations that people have.
No, probably not, but...
I'm sure it'll be a lot better than what we got originally.
I saw the extended version, so I got 3 hours of...
Of Justice League? Mm-hmm. They had the extended one for Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't think Justice League had the extended. It was just, like, very choppy and... All right, here's everybody. Thanks for the flash drive. All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'll be May
27th, 2021. Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's why...
I don't know they released the date yet.
Mm-hmm. I typed it out.
Nice.
That's what it says.
Well done.
Well done. It is decided. All right, cool. So,
I've spoken.
Is that all the news that we got?
I got no more news.
All right, let's go ahead and finish out this tournament of heroes.
Okay, so do you want to do the fast one first or the one that requires a little bit more discussion?
Well, let's just talk about the fast one first.
Okay, so we have Hellboy versus Spider-Man.
Guess who wins?
Well, Hellboy's fast, but not really like superhumanly. He can lift in excess of 5 tons, and he's really durable and fireproof. I guess for some kinds of purposes, immortal. What we're also doing till KO here.
Yeah.
So we have Spider-Man who can very easily dodge bullets and lift 70 tons.
Yeah.
And
that's correct.
Swing around on webs. Yep. And
Spider-Man will win this one really
pretty quickly. I thought Hellboy was tougher like with the movies, but nah. I mean, if he has his guns, maybe, but Spider-Man can dodge bullets, so...
And Hellboy, and I think speed alone, I don't think Hellboy is as, like, nearly as fast as Spider-Man is.
No, not at all.
Do you get like two webs down on his on
him? Yeah, and then like, just starts pummeling him. It's just essentially like he keeps reaching for guns. They get webbed away, and then Spider-Man knocks him out.
Yeah, that was a pretty quick. That was a pretty quick one.
Yeah, Spider-Man might get like a punch from the right hand of Doom, but then, boom. Well, all that would happen then is he's going, oh, okay, I don't need to hold back. Cool, boom. Like yeah. Ooh. Like that, that's a severe concussion.
Oh, and then Spider-Man and his banter. Ha 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 ha. How witty. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was relatively quick. This next one, though, yeah, I know we were talking about it a little bit. We have Cheetah versus Black Panther. Mm-hmm.
Which they're
cat fight.
Yes, the ultimate cat fight.
You were saying that Cheetah's claws can cut through anything.
Yeah, like there have been a couple renditions of them. There's been Priscilla Rich, Deborah Dora. Dormain, Barbara Ann Minerva, and Sebastian...
Bach.
Yes, Sebastian Bach. I believe it was the Barbara Ann Minerva version. She had the enchanted claws. One of them, like, they actually got their powers from a god, so her claws are enchanted and can cut through almost anything. However, I don't think there's any record of it actually cutting through vibranium
because it doesn't exist in the DC universe.
Yes.
What can cut through vibranium though? That, I guess that's what you have to base it off of.
Is there more vibranium or adamantium? It is actually canon that adamantium is stronger.
Okay. So,
but this is also DC and it's enchanted and, you know, magical means can probably slice through it too, depending on your spell. Cause I'm also assuming that Doctor Strange could wreck Black Panther fairly easily.
Doctor Strange. Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say theoretically, the her claws were able to go through the adamantium. What are strengths and like speed? Like is she like, who's basically it's like, then it comes down to, like, normally the suit would be very, very, make the durability there, but since that doesn't exist, now we have to go on raw power and speed. Who's quicker?
Yeah, because Cheetah's got insane durability, too, especially being able to take blows from Superman from like and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's how I actually figure it. See, Black Panther, he's got the superhuman speed, reflexes, agility, stamina, strength, durability, endurance, and senses. Like, he's basically an enhanced Captain America. But Cheetah, she's got her powers bestowed to her by a god, so she can take blows from Wonder Woman and Superman, and she's got reflexes that are actually faster than Wonder Woman's. And Wonder Woman's fighting speed is faster than Superman's. So essentially what you're saying is, like, Cheetah is both faster fighting-wise to be able to react to Wonder Woman and Superman's speed. I'm kind of thinking she might has this, because she also has the enhanced senses, you know, not to mention the claws and fangs that can cut through almost anything. But also occasionally, like, while fighting to a certain point, she gets this feral mind, which allows her to like fight almost without thinking, so she's even faster. But then she does like lose her intelligence and just kind of becomes this being to start hurting people and wants to eat people.
Oh my.
Yes.
All right, yeah, I mean, that's pretty convincing.
Yeah, I think she takes Black Panther out if her... I'm assuming that the enchanted claws can go through the adamantium here.
Oh, yeah,
the vibranium, mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, I would say even then, I mean, because if she is the durability to withstand, like, duke it out with Superman and Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. Black Panther is not stronger than either of those people.
No.
They're gods.
Yes.
So yeah, I think Cheetah would take that one.
Probably.
Oh, man. All right, so our qualifiers are done for this.
But we could still call it a tournament of power, 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 and supervillains, because Cheetah survived.
It's hero, hero, hero.
Ah, oh, yeah, keep on doing that.
That's all right.
DBZ's going to sue me.
So, moving on into, like, the next rounds, we have Nightcrawler, Captain America, we say Colossus.
Yes, Nightwing versus Colossus. Cyborg versus Beast Boy. And then Cheetah versus Spider-Man.
Ooh, Cyborg versus Beast Boy is going to be a heartfelt one.
Yeah.
Because they're boys. I've seen Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be harsh.
So yeah, I guess yes. I guess we can do we'll do the our quarterfinals next week. We're not gonna shake up the order, so we can start out with Nightcrawler and Captain America.
Yes.
That we'll have to really like look into some of these. Although I feel like a few of them might be pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But we will see how that goes.
Yes.
So before we dive into AEW, which we've finished watching seamlessly without any cuts.
Exactly.
No one will know the difference between you don't know when it happened. You just don't. That's the magic of editing.
But that we don't do.
Yes, that we don't do. We just hit. That's the magic of pressing pause and then play at a later date or time or never doing that because.
Magic.
So, since Double or Nothing happened, we're just going to kind of go over the injury reports with AEW Dynamite. So, let's kick it off with some NXT first and see how. Everything went on the better brand of the WWEs.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Boom, ba-dum,
ba-dum. Well, we opened up with a cold open, just Karrion Kross versus Liam Gray. It was very similar to the last match, where there's a few side suplexes and a cross jacket. This match was really just for, so Karrion Kross could destroy someone again. But also so Tommaso Ciampa could come out, and he's kind of talking about, like, the aura of Kross. And then he just kind of, like, transitioned to basically, well, it's going to be Kross and Ciampa going one-on-one at TakeOver. Welcome to the main event.
Okay.
Drop the mic. Next, we have a interim Cruiserweight Championship match, El Hijo de Fantasma versus Akira Tozawa. These two work really well together. But despite Akira's best efforts, he kind of eats a Phantom Driver, 1-2-3. It was a good solid match.
Phantom Driver, I like that name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of flipping around. Like, Akira Tozawa continues to shine on NXT, whereas he's Raw's greatest jobber up at the main roster, I guess you could call
it.
Their flagship show. I wish Vince saw the value in cruiserweights.
I'm sure he does, it's just... He doesn't care.
Yeah. Next up, we have what might be one of the greatest promos I've ever seen. We have Shotzi Blackheart talking about how she loves tanks. And then she drives one over cars while just, like, cutting promos on each one of the NXT women's division. It's pretty good.
I love tanks. Next shot in a tank.
Yeah, well, you know, she goes... It's a little more in-depth than that. Obviously. She talks about, you know, how her family was in the military and, yeah, transitions.
She was crushing cars with tanks while cutting a promo?
Yes, while cutting promos on, like, each one of the women's division. Because, you know, she'd be like, oh, that sounds like Candice LeRae getting beaten by me. Oh, that's Mia Yim. Did you like that? She was just great.
Jeez.
It was just terrific. Her promos and in-ring work are just, voila, they're great. Next up we have Mia Yim versus Santana Garrett. Yim wins quickly after a Protect Your Neck. Or an Eat Defeat, I don't know. Or a Soul Food, it continues to change. I think one of them, it matters whether it's the knee or the foot, but yeah, it's kind of confusing. Everyone keeps on changing the name of the move.
Interesting.
Yes. It's one of those for sure. this kind of, again, was just a match to really exist to have someone else come out. And the Garganos come out. Both Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae kind of, like, you know, taunt them a little bit. And then they, they kind of, like, get into the ring. Mia Yim actually kicks Johnny off the barricade, but then he, like, later pulls the rope down when her and Candice are fighting.
Okay.
It's one of those where it's like, he didn't actually hurt her or, like, touch her in any way.
Shady.
Yeah.
Still shady.
Yeah, it's a way for him to, like, hit a woman, basically, without hitting a woman. Because you'll never see that now, like, in this era.
No, ever. Not at all.
WWE just, like, will not allow that to happen, except by mistake to Stephanie McMahon at WrestleMania. She takes one bump a year.
Yep, because everybody's, for some reason, is okay with her being abused.
Because she's the heel female villain that just never gets her comeuppance.
That's true.
It's always like, you know, like, oh, okay, the person she didn't want to lose won. Stephanie's still going to be an asshole to them.
They should just have... the finale of that is just have Steph be chucked off the Hell in a Cell.
Nice.
She can take, she can take that bump.
Dudley's come back for one night, powerbomb, revive the old shtick.
No, as she's falling, Devon... Or Bubba comes out from out of the crowd, and Devon runs from the side, and as she's about to hit, they 3D. Both leap in the air in 3D through a table.
That'd be pretty awesome. Moving on. So, you know, eventually Yim is, like, thrown out of the ring, and that's when Keith Lee comes out, and he's had enough, and they kind of, like, both chase the Garganos off. So I'm assuming we're working towards that at your house.
Gargano's going to get his ass handed to him.
Yeah, which sucks because the transitional champ Scooby has the title, so...
Oh, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, I need to figure this one out. Well, it was okay because it's like, oh, luckily, two weeks later is an NXT event.
I mean, I dropped the ball, but, like, you dropped the ball because you were the champion, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the ball was pretty dropped. Hard. The ball was dropped.
Almost all of my predictions were wrong.
And now our belt is just lounging back, watching South Park and drinking Natty Ice. Ugh, yeah. What happened?
Anyway, next we have a Drake Maverick promo. And, like, it was terrific. He basically was like, you know, they've given me 3 matches, and, you know, he's won one of them.
Honestly, I really hope they don't just, like, let him go after all this.
I like, feel
the storyline ends, and then he's actually just, yeah.
If the crowd was there, I think, like, there'd be no way they could let him go. This would be, like, almost a Daniel Bryan-esque moment. They would be cheering so loudly for him.
Poor
Spud.
That's so dumb. He's so good.
Yeah. Well, he basically was like, I've got, you know, they've given me 3 matches, or he said, like, I've gotten 3 matches at the beginning or something like that, and now this is my 3rd one. So, yeah, it was really sad.
God damn it. Why would they do shit like that? That's just terrible.
I don't know. Moving on to something a little more serious, sort of. Dexter Lumis versus Roderick Strong. It kind of looks like Roderick's going for the Stronghold, but he kind of, like, rolls him up instead. Like, that's just the finish. It's a terrific match. It's well-paced. Like, Roderick gets a few good backbreakers on. Dexter Lumis is booked as a monster, but it's just a surprise, like, roll-up thing.
The most devastating move, man.
In all of WrestleMania.
No one can stop the surprise roll-up.
In all of wrestling, yes.
Yeah, no one.
Not even Dexter Lumis.
Someone's as deadly as a small package, mm-hmm. which you can technically can be a surprise roll-up.
That's true.
Those two combined. It's like a fusion dance between devastating moves.
Gogeta.
It's the Gogeta of wrestling moves.
Anyway, Lumis kind of makes up for this because he kind of, like, crawls under the ropes and locks in the, the Kata Kimura?
Sure.
Yeah, it's his little, like, stranglehold thing where he, like, locks in the arm and the neck. Kata Kimura? Kata Kimura? Kata Kimura?
I'll just agree.
Kata Kimura. Sounds right.
I don't know how to read.
Like, the rest of the Undisputed Era come out, they're, like, punching and kicking him. He just, like, will not break the hold. So Velveteen Dream comes out. He basically, you know, throws Bobby Fish out of the way. He gets rid of Roderick Strong. Super kicks Adam Cole, like, over the barricade, and then, like, climbs into the ring and jumps over the barricade with a purple Rainmaker. All the while, Dexter Lumis still has the Kata Kimura locked on Roderick Strong. He's just, like, sitting on his ass, straight-legged out, holding him.
Did he, like, pass out at that point?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Actually, the segment ends with Lumis, like, still holding Roderick Strong in it, but he's kind of, like, stroking his hair, and Roderick's just asleep.
So is Roderick going to, like, come back in a couple weeks with brain damage?
I have no idea.
From the amount of oxygen that was cut off from his brain?
I don't know. It was an unsettling sight. I like what they're doing here.
What the fuck?
So next we have Akira Tozawa and Phantasma in a parking lot. And those masked men that have been abducting people just kind of, like, appear, and they try to abduct Tozawa after, you know, Phantasma was like, you know, good job, man, I was rooting for you. So Phantasma kind of, like, runs back and fights him off. But this is concerning. They've been abducting people. Odd.
Yeah, the security at that place is garbage.
Yeah, that's true. It's like three attempts now.
You'd think they'd have
been foiled, and like two that people have actually been abducted.
You'd think they'd have the police around.
Yeah, you don't hear anything about it either. No one's like, oh, hey, you know, we're missing two people.
Yeah, I would say the people who got abducted, they're still abducted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is that just, maybe that's how they're, like, they're going to write Drew off TV. He'll be abducted, and he'll disappear, and then they'll quietly fire him.
Could be.
They're going to be like, oh, but it's part of the storyline. He'll come back. But it's like, no, all those people are dead. Mm-hmm. And we forgot about that storyline, so they don't exist anymore.
It's an interesting predicament they put themselves in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, next up we have Birch and Lorcan versus Ever-Rise. Another, like, really fast match. It kind of ended with Lorcan locking in a half crab and Birch locking in a crossface. They did the Imperium pose afterwards, though, so I kind of wonder if they're going to be chasing the title next.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, that's a little bit predictable, because they're always the ones that almost get it, but not really, because they're really good and really over, so I think Papa Trips figures they can take a couple defeats.
Gotcha. That can only last for so long, though.
Mm. Possibly.
Before it all comes crashing down.
I don't know. Also, maybe Pete Dunne could make his return and cost him the title anyway, so...
Yeah, that's true.
But then feud with Imperium.
That's true.
Well, Finn Balor feuds with Volta.
Volta.
Volta!
Ooh, that's an interesting matchup.
Well, they basically said that they had to put that one on hold, so...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, whenever it starts, it'll be right. It'll be okay. But speaking of Matt Riddle, Timothy Thatcher next is cutting a promo... And he's like, he basically said, like, you know, the last match was unfair. I want a tap out or knockout match only between me and Riddle. And I guess that was decided on.
Is that for In Your House? Or
Riddle's like, okay, we're cool.
That for In Your House, or is that just about to happen right now?
I'm assuming it's In Your House.
Okay.
They haven't officially announced it, but Riddle was like, yeah, that's fine.
So, yeah, bro, you want to hit this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next up we have Kushida versus Drake Maverick. This is lots of Kushida with, like, random flurries of Drake. And then, like, Jake Atlas kind of comes out on ringside to see what's going on. Maverick goes for a top rope bulldog at Kushida, kind of reverses and turns into an armbar. And then Maverick just kind of continues rolling and gets him on his back and gets the 1-2-3 out of nowhere. So Drake Maverick gets a point.
Wow.
So yeah, Atlas kind of slides into the ring and points out, like, hey, we've all got three wins, so what's going on here? So we have, I guess, Jake Atlas, Drake Maverick, and Kushida in a triple threat next week to determine who's going to the final.
This
is going to be intense.
The fact that Kushida doesn't just jump into the DeLorean and travel back so he wins is kind of weird.
Ah, you can't do that, though. Changing the future has dangerous consequences.
Yeah, but...
He knows that.
No, but because... my argument is because it's the DeLorean. Way of time travel works like it does in the movie. So if he goes back, changes something in the past, changes in the future. None of that wonky timeline stuff. But that's just me. That's just me. I'm just,
yeah.
If you're gonna come out with that orange jumpsuit or the orange vest,
to be fair, he hasn't been coming out with it lately.
No, are they're probably trying to that's a copyrighted thing.
Yeah. Alex Shelley's still injured, so
yeah. I figured once they moved him over, they probably were definitely, because I mean like you watch Wrestle Kingdom. I can't remember which one it was when he came in. In the DeLorean, I was like, there's no fucking way WWE is gonna pay the rights to try to do shit like that.
Nope.
So
ever. But next up we have our main event, which is Io Shirai versus Rhea Ripley. It's a pretty good match. You know, you'd expect that from these two. Basically, you know, Rhea Ripley out overpowering her and Io Shirai being the crazy person she is.
Yeah.
It worked pretty well, actually. Charlotte kind of comes out to, like, watch, apparently, but, you know, gets a little bit too close because Shirai throws, like, head scissors Ripley into Charlotte. Yeah, that doesn't really work so well because Io finally, like, takes control of this match. Charlotte just comes in and hoofs her in the face. Big boot. And then spears Ripley out of nowhere. So at the end, like, Flair just stands tall.
All right. Fuck your women's division, right?
Yeah. I actually kind of wonder if they're going to have a triple threat in your house and something's going to happen to where Charlotte's not taking the pin, but she's going to lose.
Charlotte is already...
My heart goes out to Ia.
Charlotte has already solidified herself. I don't understand this. She could lose forever. And then it will not.
Like, yeah.
It'll do nothing. Because she's Charlotte Flair.
She's really good, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just she's Flair's daughter. It's like she's Flair's daughter. That's good.
Yeah. Just frustrating, I suppose.
A little bit.
So, yeah.
But yeah, that's our NXT.
When was In Your House? Did you say it was in 2 weeks?
Yes, July 5th, I think. I have to double check that to be sure.
Do you mean June?
Yeah, that makes way more sense. the next month coming up, first Saturday.
Gotcha. So we'll probably be having predictions for that next week then.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Well,
hopefully they announce all the matches by then, because so far all we got is Ciampa versus Cross.
Yeah.
And then everything else is like, yeah, probably, but not really announced.
So they're really good at like not doing that.
Yeah.
As of late, at least, mm-hmm. It seems. So yeah, moving on from NXT, from one brand to another. On Dynamite, we did have some injuries. Two out of the three people who were injured did not wrestle. Rey Fénix on that crazy springboard, clearly. Like,
yeah.
Like, he clearly hurt himself. Britt Baker's leg blew up.
Yeah, she's got a fracture and two torn ligaments.
Yeah.
So that'll be
which
fun.
Which sucks. Both of them are out. And then Matt Jackson, I don't know if he broke a rib or bruised a rib, but he has damage to the ribs, but he was all wrapped up and was wrestling, which...
And doing things he should not be doing with a broken rib.
Yes, like, oh my God, but we'll get to that later. I really enjoyed Double or Nothing. This was a really good one.
It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was a little perturbed at first that the heavyweight championship match was not on last, but then after watching the Stampede, I'm like, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, that was not your standard like match.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and run through the card. I did take a bunch of notes for the ladder match and the Stampede match. So we'll have to just spitfire stuff from the other ones.
I can live with that.
Yes. So we started out on the pre-show with the Best Friends versus Private Party. There was that promo with Jake and Lance earlier where Lance was just hitting stuff with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, and then he started breaking, like, toilets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was very strange. Very, very strange.
Nothing shows you tough like...
Sledgehammers.
Yeah, sledgehammers to a dilapidated house.
Yep, dilapidated. We had Best Friends versus Private Party. Now, I can't remember if they said that this was for, like, the number one contendership for the tag matches, or if this just puts the winner in the number one spot.
I thought it was a number one contendership.
Okay. Regardless, it was a pretty good match. A lot of back and forth. I do enjoy, usually, like, the first match, like, the wrestlers are always, like, respectful to each other, which is nice. Shaking hands and shit like that.
Especially when they're two-faced teams.
Mm-hmm. There is this really cool assisted avalanche suplex for the top rope.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
There was a lot of spots too that were kind of like off I guess. And I
yeah, this match was a little bit sloppy.
I have to remember, but I also have to remember that they've been coming off of a bunch of like pre-recorded shows, so a lot of these guys really haven't wrestled in like a month or so. I mean, I'm sure they're still doing stuff at home, but to like throw into the a lot of like Private Party, like some of those weird catches, like some of the moves, like they pull them off, but then they're always like a weird kind of thing to them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I enjoyed this match, and then the Best Friends pulled out the victory, which I like Private Party.
I was the only one that had said Private Party was gonna win.
I like Private Party, but they've been really like the Best Friends have been getting a lot of play.
Yeah, I know.
Private Party has been doing a lot of dark matches, or AEW dark.
Yeah, I thought they were just gonna pop out of nowhere and be like, "Whoa!"
This would have been a great time to do it, but like, because the Best Friends are already kind of established, but it was not meant to be.
I thought the Best Friends were gonna be like the second challenge. This is gonna be like their first tag match, which they win.
Oh, okay, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, moving on to the main card. I don't think there was a bad match on this entire thing. This was probably one of my favorites. Was the ladder match. We had Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky start out, which was nice. Nice little touch.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Like, oh, okay, I wonder if they're going to actually fight. And they did, but they seemed like they were taking it easy.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
You know, they also had a long, long match ahead of them.
I also like how they had the giant timer that it's like, and JR's like, we show you the timer here, folks. Like, straight up, just like, there you go. So yeah, they're kind of going back and forth right as the timer, like, they both sort of crack their heads on each other right before the last timer hits and Kip Sabian comes in. Yeah. And then Jimmy Havoc kind of snoops in to help him out, just because they're like heels. Tag partners now, I think. Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of disappointed I didn't get to see one Acid Rainmaker.
Huh?
I didn't get to see one Acid Rainmaker. I thought Jimmy Havoc would have thrown one in.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, that's all right.
I could have been getting a beer when that happened, though. Sorry, carry on.
Keep no, I don't think it did. Because Kip got taken out in a on a botched like high spot via the ladder. And then Darby came in next, which, ugh. I was so afraid. I think it was Kip that was on there. Darby came in and he climbed up on the ladder and had the skateboard and did the drop from the top of the ladder.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there were some insane spots in here.
There was.
Orange. There's also one weird one where they were like a ladder fell off at one point. Like,
yeah, that was a little,
like the top corner or something like that.
That was a little bit later with the surprise. The mystery guest.
Yes.
The largest man in the world. but yeah, Orange Cassidy was after Darby, and honestly, like, everything that he does makes me laugh. He goes up to the announcers and asks what he's supposed to do, and seems so, like...
He's like, how do I win this?
Yeah, so put upon that he has to climb a ladder. At one point, there's just a ladder on the ground, and he stands on, like, just lying on the ground, and he stands on it, and just reaches his hands in the air. Oh, it's so fucking funny.
And then he just kind of, like, picks the ladder up and drops it so many times when he's just in the ring. He's got all the chances in the world. He just can't figure out how to open a ladder, or is too lazy to.
It's so great. After Colt Cabana came in, and, like, this is, like, the whole time Orange was there, there was a little bit of offense, but for the most time, it was just him trying to figure out how to set up ladders. Colt Cabana was next. He looked like he was kind of going to help, and then obviously he like starts beating up Orange Cassidy, whose glasses stay on the entire time.
Yeah.
It was very, very...
That was pretty amazing.
Up next was...
Well, during that first entire time. They come off later.
Yeah, they come off later, obviously. But, I mean, like, he got thrown out of the ring, and they were still on. Mm-hmm. Joey Janela came in, who was replacing Rey Fénix.
Yeah.
He just goes straight for Kip and Jimmy. Afterwards, Luchasaurus comes in and just murders everybody because he's Luchasaurus.
Exactly.
He powerbomb Kip, so like outside of the ring, he does a choke slam to Frankie on the ladder. When Darby started getting offense in, he did that top rope. It wasn't a sunset flip, but he like did like a flipping powerbomb from the top rope to Luchasaurus.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, that was super impressive. But then, of course, the last man to come in was former Impact heavyweight champion Brian Cage. This dude is a fucking... Like, I saw it, like...
Yeah, that was a large man. That's all that beef.
Oh, my God. Like, he came out with Taz, who I'm assuming is going to be his manager, it kind of seemed.
Yeah, it seems like it.
But, I mean, he comes out and he rips a ladder in half.
Yeah, that was...
And then...
That was convincing.
Yeah, and then he just starts, like, beating the fuck out of everyone.
He eventually gets trapped under a giant bingo chip, though.
Yeah, everybody started to, like, come in and assist because he was just, like, throwing people around. At one point, Brian was, like, climbing the ladder. Orange Cassidy jumped on his back. He just, like, turned, looked at him, and continued the climb up the ladder with Orange Cassidy hanging off.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was really good.
I think they played him over as, like, oh, he's a monster.
I even put Brian Cage comes as Mr. Guest. This man is so fucking huge. So they got him all buried under so that everyone else can start fighting. I love Orange Cassidy's Superman punch, which they say it's an elbow, but it's like, look at how, like, all he needs to do is cock his fucking wrist. Jimmy Havoc. Best friends come out and they start attacking Jimmy just because he's walloping on Orange Cassidy. At one point, Marco Stunt was out there and did, like, an assisted choke slam with Luchasaurus.
Off of a really tiny ladder.
Off of a tiny ladder.
I'd like to take a moment to recognize Marco Stunt. He's just been getting his ass kicked every week, and he still came out here and was like, oh, I'm gonna do this spot because it's gonna be funny.
And I want to say it was Luchasaurus that did it, but there's that Death Valley driver spot from off of the ring onto the giant chip that Brian was still buried under.
I think it was.
Oh, man. This match was just so fucking good.
Make Luchasaurus the champ.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But yeah, eventually, like, Frankie and Scorpio kind of fight over the chip. Luchasaurus comes out and stops them. And then Brian Cage comes back and just wrecks everybody. And they, at one point, Darby comes in and tries to, like, stop him. And then Brian was going to climb, and Taz told him to finish him off. So he did. What the hell did he do? He fucked him up. Like, it was basically like he was.
Yeah, I don't remember what he did. I just remember going, oh!
But yeah, and Brian,
on
his debut, wins the ladder match and has a fight for the AEW World Championship.
Yeah.
Good debut. Make him look like a fucking monster.
Brian Cage versus Mox.
I mean, I'm pretty disappointed that, Darby Allin didn't win.
A little bit, same here.
But I wasn't expecting, like, a literal fridge man coming in. I am fridge man. Like, when you see, like, cartoons of bodybuilders, like, that's what he looks like. This is just, like, tiny head, but everything else is just, like, abnormally large.
A little bit. Like, it's like an angry Johnny Bravo.
It's like a Skyrim character. Mm-hmm. It's obnoxious. So yeah, after that we had MJF versus Jungle Boy. I actually really like this match. I think it would have worked really well with a crowd because there wasn't anything like crazy that happened. There was just a lot of, like, you know, MJF faking injuries, and then they, like,
he pulled every heel tactic.
Yes, and like the Jungle Boy, like, hurt his shoulder at one point, and, you know, he was focusing that a lot, but the match ended with them doing roll-ups back and forth to each other and MJF and eventually getting the pin.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Mm-hmm. But it was a pretty good match. I like it. Like I said, I think this was the one match where I was like, man, if there's a crowd, this might have been a little bit, like... Because then you would get here, like, all of the booing and the cheering from Jungle Boy, and, like, this was a perfect, like, babyface fire sort of match kind of thing.
Especially since MJF is... Dare I say the best heel there is right now?
Yeah.
And Jungle Boy is, like, such an over baby face.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Cornette loved that match.
Oh, yeah.
Up next, we had Cody versus Lance Archer for the new TNT Championship. Now, Badgham, What do you think of this belt?
There's a lot of TNT.
At first glance, I think it was just the way that Tyson was holding it. Because he was definitely holding it weird. Like he was, like, up like this. Well, I mean, clearly people can't see what I'm doing, but, like... I feel like it should have been a little bit more... Like, there's detail on it, but it doesn't pop out more.
Yeah, it's kind of like it was etched, just yeah, not very
because it seemed... At first, it seemed like at a certain light, it was just, like, the TNT logo is in the middle, and then they just forgot to finish the rest, and it's just, like, a silver plate. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't think that you're... Like, it definitely shouldn't outshine the AEW championship. That belt is gorgeous.
Yes. You can't outshine it.
Yeah, so this is... I think that's... It's not too bad, although I do wish they made the details pop out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But like I said, there could have been lighting, could have been whatever, but... or at least have the AEW a little bit bigger than the TNT.
Yeah.
Something like that. This was a pretty brutal match. I like how they kept cutting over to Mike Tyson, like, laughing.
Yeah, he was really having
fun. He was super into it. I even went, like, when Lance Archer came in the ring and he just, like, fucking did his, like, facepalm chokeslam to this guy, and you just, it pans to Tyson's face, and he's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, that was his entrance, just...
Just beating up a guy. That's mm-hmm. Those are his entrances, apparently.
Yeah, that was an interesting... That might be one of the better entrances I've actually seen in a pay-per-view, come to think of it. Just walk out of the ring, beat the shit out of a dude. Okay. Sounds like a Royal Rumble entrant.
Yeah. But yeah, at one point, so the match, there was actually a lot of back and forth, which I appreciate. Like we said, like they were earlier, they were really good at making you look strong and loss, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You're not just getting like crushed, basically, unless that is a literal squash match. But at one point, both Arn and Jake get disqualified, kicked out. Yeah,
thrown out.
Because Arn kind of cheats a little bit.
Yeah, it was really weird that Arn got them thrown out. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be the good guy.
Yeah. I was hoping that Arn and Jake would duke it out a bit, but I don't know if that is ever going to happen.
Probably not.
Jake seems fragile.
Yeah.
The amount of, like, the amount of finishers that Lance took shows mm-hmm. how, like, resilient he is. So Cody hit him with a Cody cutter, and he kicked out at one. He did the stinger splash. I even typed in stinger confirmed for AEW, because he did the howl and everything.
Yeah, that was intense. I marked out. Not gonna lie.
I do like. I meant to go back because I just read it when Arn got kicked out. Mike Tyson kind of like ratted on him because the referee came out and was like, "Oh, he was doing this." Arn's like, "No, no, no!" And the camera points over, and Mike Tyson was just like, "He did it, man. He's gotta go. He's gotta go." But yeah, the finish. So we had two consecutive crossroads. I had to put out. So Lance took three crossroads total, I think. But the last two, when Cody got his "this is a pay-per-view, so I get to win" match, or fire, like comeback, mm-hmm. he hit two crossroads and won to become the first champ. And I don't... See, it's like if he didn't like have a big... in. If it wasn't, like, his company, you know what I mean? Kind of. Mm-hmm. Plus Lance, I mean, I don't know.
I still think having Lance Archer win makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Cody's company.
Well, maybe we'll explain it a little bit. Up next, we have Penelope Ford versus Chris Stratlander. Penelope replaced Britt, who's a guy that she's probably going to be out for a while, unfortunately, but...
Yes, she has a condition we like to call Seth Rollins'
knee. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
it was, he exploded too.
It was a pretty solid match. I like Stratlander's finisher. That really cool looking pile driver thingy.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was. I really appreciate that. Appreciate mm-hmm. it. I really like it. So, yeah, and then Chris picks up the win. Mm-hmm. To no one's surprise.
Up next, Dustin versus Sean Spears, which didn't seem like it was going to happen at first.
Yeah.
And then Dustin eventually comes out after a couple fakeouts and essentially just like...
Well, no, he surprises.
Huh?
Brandy comes out.
Yes, that's right.
She's like, look behind you, and then there's Dustin.
Yeah, and then Dustin just goes ahead and strips Sean down to his underwear, which has a picture of Tully on his crotch.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of wondering what they're doing with his character, because he came in, busted Cody over the head, looked like this huge badass, and lost then, in the match, and the momentum kind of died, and then it was like, oh, okay, and now you're fighting against Dustin. You have another chance to, like, regain that.
And then this.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, so he's a comedy act. He hasn't been more misused since the main roster.
Ooh. No, I mean, he's still on it, at least, so that's good.
Yeah, he was never
even he does a lot of dark.
Plus, I think a lot of these guys have, like, some sort of creative control, so this could be his idea, obviously, too, so who knows. Well, I lost my spot. What was next? Ah, the women's match. Nyla Rose versus Hikaru Shida. God damn it. Shida.
Another one that I kind of wish they would have had it stick with Nyla Rose and
I was pretty excited that Shida won, to be honest. Not because I picked her, but like just in general, because I was really enjoyed her on Dynamite, like as one of the baby faces. Like she still had that kind of like mm-hmm. like badass.
The match was really good, though.
Yeah, match was really good. No DQs. They were weapons and just tons of crazy like the guardrail. That one particular guardrail, like on if you're looking at the entrance ramp, the one that's like on the far other side of it, that particular mm-hmm. guardrail got so much abuse tonight.
Oh yeah.
It was pretty intense.
A lot of guardrail abuse.
It was pretty intense. But yeah, in the end, I think I can't remember how I don't think they were in the ring. Wow, my memory is terrible. But Shida just sets her up and it's just like towards the end is just nonstop like running me and then picks up the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like I said, I'm pretty happy about. I like Nyla as a champ, obviously, and she's like a huge dominant force, so it's not like she's definitely not gonna leave the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it was a good choice.
I don't know. She kind of seems like a Big Show, though. One of those, like, always in the title hunt, but never has the title, even though they should obviously get the title.
Who, Rose?
Yeah, although I guess she did have the title, so.
Hmm. We'll see. We'll see where this goes. Up next, the penultimate match of Jon Moxley versus Brody Lee. Like I said, at first I was like, well, why is this on now? But then we'll find out later why that mm-hmm. was on now. So I scrolled down. Brody Lee still had the belt. He's walking around with it.
Yeah, that was great. That was a nice touch, though.
This was another match, I think, if it was in front of the crowd, that excitement would really, like, add to it.
I think an AEW crowd, you'd get a Let's Go Moxley, Let's Go Brody chant going on.
Which isn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, There were. It spills out to the outside pretty quickly. There was that the nice. I wrote down Underhood Superplex, but I know it's not. It's the same superplex suplex that Brody Lee was doing like a majority of the match into things, like into the barricade and then into the poker sign and all that other stuff.
Yes, I don't know what it's called either.
I know, I wrote Underhook. I know that's not right.
That's all I can picture now.
It's like Underhook suplex into a propped barricade. A lot of suplexes into things. The match ends, though. He hits a paradigm shift through the ramp.
Yeah.
And we had a serious debate on whether or not that was like happened. Like if that was meant to happen, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it looked like a piece of it actually broke. Like, you can see, like strips of wood kind of sticking out. But that could also just be how it's supposed to break, so.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty sweet spot.
Brody Lee comes out, he's bleeding, and Moxley just goes back into it, hits a paradigm shift, kicks out at one, hits an elevated paradigm shift, kicks out at two. So then he just puts him in a rear chokehold, and then Brody Lee passes out. Yeah. Probably due to blood loss. Well, not blood loss. He wasn't bleeding that much, but I'm assuming all of those things.
I would assume oxygen loss.
Hmm?
I would assume oxygen loss.
Yeah, oxygen was probably the... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a rear naked choke, yeah.
So, yeah. Moxley retains.
Uh-huh. And they put Brody Lee over like a monster. I like it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So, the final match of the night. Man. This thing was amazing.
Ooh, yeah.
I loved it so much. And I know a lot of people... Well, not a lot of people. I'm sure people... Some people probably will.
I don't think Jim Cornette would have liked it.
No. But he's a terrible thing to base off of. Because... Yeah. Although...
Reasons.
Yeah, reasons. So, yeah. Let's just go ahead and go through the Stampede match. So, we start out... we start out with the Inner Circle. This is almost as long as the ladder notes.
Yeah. There's a lot.
So, we start out with the Inner Circle coming out dressed up as football players. Which all their numbers have significance to it. Jericho's number was his dad's number when he was in the NHL. Jake's number was his college football number and stuff like that, which I thought was neat.
That's pretty cool.
Full on entrances, announcements with the flames and the smoke and the
cheerleaders.
The cheerleaders and the mascot was there. It was ridiculous. The elite come out too, and there's no Hangman. So then we start the match out. And it's literally a full-on wall of death. It's basically a kickoff, but they just converse into the middle and start drop kicking each other. Which right away I'm like, okay,
yeah, this is gonna be entertaining.
This is gonna be great. Eventually, they were all in the ring at one point. It started out like it was in the ring. They all kind of when they crashed into each other, they kind of did that, and eventually they all split off. Sammy. Got chased off by Hangman, who showed up with his horse, and
I really thought they were gonna run him over.
I
guess there's no safe way to take that bump.
No, and I was really hoping that they would hog tie Sammy and drag him across the field, but there's also no way you could safely take that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in the uniform. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, so they go off and they're running. They're chasing him after him. While that's happening, Inner Circle kind of get back together and start whooping on them. They're on the elite. There's this huge somersault off the goalpost from Matt, which was just, he's already injured.
Yeah.
And it's what are you fucking doing?
Broken rib? Nah, it's fine.
That was ridiculous.
I got a bunch more.
Eventually, Sammy makes his way out, but, Hangman is still searching for him, so he ends up just being well, okay, and then he goes into
he tells his horse to stay and goes to the bar.
Yep. Santana and Ortiz drop Kenny on this giant, and they prop up the guardrail and then drop him onto on the powerbomb to that. Then they move on to Matt Hardy, which leads to probably my favorite part of the entire night.
Oh my god, yeah, that is just...
Well, it's the lead up to it and the part itself. So they throw him in this pool that's on one of the upper decks, and Santana jumps in, and it's ankle high. Ortiz is complaining how he can't swim and goes slowly down the ladder to it. And they proceed to try to drown him. And every time he would come back up, because there's the plexiglass, the camera would be looking at Matt. He'd throw up some sort of symbol and then turn into the OG Matt Hardy and start fighting. Then they bring him back down. They bring him back up, and now he's version one, which I love. Mm-hmm. I love when Santana Ortiz stopped and saw the Matt facts that popped up.
Yeah. Breaking the fourth wall.
Which I think it had something about him, how long he can hold his breath underwater or something like that.
They did this very well.
Oh, they did such a good job with it. So yeah, he comes back up as Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
Ties Ortiz up duct tapes into a chair of wheels, and then throws Santana into an ice machine.
And then puts a broom across the handles so he can't escape.
Presumably dead now.
Yes. Murder. Frozen to death.
Yes, murder. So while that's all done and happening, I like the crowd starts chanting horse at some point. Horse, horse, horse. As Jake finds Hangman in the bar, they share a drink for a second, and then they start beating the shit out of each other.
And he's like, you here to fight or you here to drink? And he just starts pouring him whiskey. That looked a lot like iced tea.
Whiskey, air quotes. He pile bombs him on the pool table. And they do that Western scene, which I'm sure Hangman loved, where they like drag him across the entire bar, knocking everything over. Eventually, Kenny came in with the assist, and they took out Jake by doing that really cool, like Kenny got on all fours, and Hangman did his springboard over Tim and did the buckshot lariat using Kenny, which was mwah.
Yeah, that's great.
Really good. Then he pours Kenny a glass of milk and pours himself a shot. I think even JR, when they clinks the milk out in there, he's like, oh, he likes milk with his whiskey. I'm just gonna start rambling off like the rolling suplexes across the 100 yards from Matt.
Oh my god, yeah. I forgot about that till now. That was terrific.
There was the replay. Jericho called a challenge on a 2 count. And then him and the ref went into.
She's like, why are you even in here? You're not supposed to be in here. Rule stands. It's only 2 count.
I love before that, though, they had, like, the fan that blew the steam out or the water out. And like, Matt, or I think it was Nick. Nick, like, had him, like, was pushing his head into it. You hear Jericho being like, not like this.
That was great.
The Matt rolling suplexes, Jericho in the replay booth. Matt and Nick eventually attack Jericho. Hangman comes out with the line maker, like the spray paint, and then goes over and spray paints Jericho across. And then the match ends with Kenny doing... Or first of all, they recreate the spot of Sammy being chased by a golf cart.
Yes, that was terrific.
And then, then they get him... I want to say the thing that they're, like, standing on was, like, 20 feet tall. Like, there was, like, the entrance that the players go through when they go on the field. They were on a riser on top of that, and Kenny did a one-winged angel off of that to, like, it looked like a crash pad with a board underneath it. But, yeah, that's how it ended. And that was fucking awesome.
I was okay with that.
Yeah, so... Whew, it was an exhausting match.
It makes
total sense they didn't put that on before Moxley and Brody Lee, because that would have been...
Yeah, that just kind of felt like a...
It would have sucked the energy out of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was laughing so hard the entire time. Like,
yeah, they had the right amounts of comedy and action. I think Jericho and Matt Hardy have learned to master that pretty well.
Oh,
along with the Bucks.
100%. 100%. I'm still very surprised that... Matt was doing all of this crazy, like, rolling suplexes and giant somersaults when he has, like, a bruised rib.
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently Nick said that I'm not confusing them. Don't think that, Mike. I feel like Nick wanted to, like, try to tell him, it's like, I'll take it. And he's like, no, man, I got it. De balls, de huspa. So yeah, that was Dynamite. That was Double or Nothing this week, this month. They did advertise All In, but didn't give a date. At least on the thingy, I couldn't really hear what was going on afterwards.
Do we know when we're getting the Blood and Guts match?
Probably won't happen until there's a crowd.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So who knows? Yeah. Hopefully within the next like month or couple months. Yeah, and then that is our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, as always, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and all this other stuff at House of Pod 1. I think I tweeted yesterday.
and suddenly
I can't. Alcohol. It's like it's the thing. It's the problem is like every time I open it up, it's the only thing I see are all of this like negative, bad things, and I immediately am just like, nah, I don't want to do this. So I just got to get over the hump, you know, maybe like really have it chisel away at my soul for a bit before I can be like, oh, this is totally normal.
That's how the grades are made.
Yes.
That's how you learn to like coffee as an adult.
Yeah, that's true. You force feed it until you like it.
Until you're like, coffee.
Yes. The beatings will continue until morale improves.
Yes.
For House of Pod, I am Mike.
I'm Dash.
Goodbye, everyone.